the KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Pastor George Stankey joins us. He's a pastoral counselor in the counseling department at Focus on the Family for at least the last 20 years, providing counseling to individuals, families, ministry families, and other ministry leaders like deacons, elders, board members, missionaries, et cetera. But appreciate you taking the time for us, Pastor, and look forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Steve. It's such a pleasure to be here today.
Well, you know, we're entering into a season. Now, I've been in ministry for decades, and we're entering into a season that, you know, many of us in ministry, you know, this time of year and, you know, come spring when we head towards Easter, we consider it's, you know, kind of the Super Bowl. You know, it's the big time of the year, the busiest time of the year. And there's a lot of hard work put into presenting the gospel and events and what have you. But one of the things that falls through the cracks, and this isn't a new thing, I'm sure. I'll let you address that. But one of the things that falls through the cracks is the need to uplift our pastors, both our head pastor and associate pastors, as we head through not just these seasons, but throughout the year. In general, can you speak to whether or not this is kind of a new thing or something that really has gone on for quite some time?
It has gone on for a long time. I remember when Jesus was ministering with his disciples, they just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish. And the scripture says that they were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. And Jesus said, "Gentlemen, we're done. Fold up the tent. We're going to go to a private, secluded place so that we can rest."
Yeah.
It has never, ever changed.
Yeah, and you and I can both go back to the Old Testament. Moses had a few guys holding his arms up at one point. You know, I think it's a great illustration of the need for us as, not only as pastors, now I'm not a pastor, but the need for pastors and lay leaders to not take for granted those that are around us and available to lift us up as we walk through the valley. I mean, I know anywhere things can get dark and get heavy. And you're in Colorado and I'm in New Mexico, both areas of which politically and spiritually, I would say they're heavy places to be. And you know, you could be in Texas or, you know, what some would probably call more red states. And listen, the same issues are going to happen there. There's a large load to carry. And what we want to do today is kind of walk through some of the things that we, as the body of Christ, can do to lift up this part of the body of Christ that often is neglected. And in this segment, we'll talk about some of the spiritual and personal support that we can do for them. Let's start, Pastor, with how we might pray for our spiritual leaders, our pastors, and how important maybe specificity is when it comes to praying for our pastors.
Absolutely. I just did that this morning. I have a very dear, dear brother in the Lord who has resigned his position due to some internal conflict, and he's been in ministry for 30 years dealing with false accusations. And he was sitting at my kitchen table with his wife weeping, saying to me, "George, I've never dealt with this much aggression in all of my years of ministry." And it just broke my heart listening to him. And I was so grateful to be able to just put my arms around his shoulder and just join in his pain and pray with him and lift him before the Lord.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that isn't an unfamiliar story. As a matter of fact, as I was preparing for our visit today, I kind of suspected that whether it was a specific story or just talking about how things like that happen, it made me think. I don't know if you're familiar with a song from a band called Need to Breathe, called "Washed by the Water," and I'm going to read some of the lyrics. The lyrics go like this. Daddy was a preacher. She was his wife. Just trying to make the world a little better, you know, shine a light. People started talking just to hear their own voice. Those people tried to accuse my father, say he made the wrong choice. Though it might be painful, you know, that time will always tell. Those people have long since gone. My father never failed. And then it goes on to say, even when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising, even when the storms come, I am washed by the water. And I just when I heard that song years ago, I can think of many times. So, I mean, over the years, I mean, I guess the older we get, the more stories we have. But it's not unusual for a pastor who's in the trenches doing the right thing, and they face a lot of criticism. Now, can you speak to that at all, as far as we do need to be Bereans. We do need to hold what we're being taught up to the Word of God. But what's the right way to encourage a pastor in times like that? Instead of maybe addressing something that you don't know what you don't know.
Right. No, you're right. In the book of Proverbs, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. There are times, because you love the leadership of your church, that it's imperative that you be honest, but you can never afford to be harsh. Say what needs to be said. Pray. Show your concern. But as you said, have the Berean mindset.
The other thing that I wanted to touch on in this area and just in general was ways to encourage our pastors directly. And I'll tell you a short story. I was listening to my pastor on the radio a few years ago, and I've known him for decades. And I was listening to a teaching that I was, I mean, they're all good, but I was like, wow, that's good. I happened to have his number, and I thought, I'm going to text him and tell him. And then I thought, you know what? He gets bothered all. He needs to be just left alone. And I felt, is that the enemy keeping him from getting an encouragement? And I just and I you know if I text him, I text him maybe once or twice a year. And I text him. I said, you know what? I was listening to a teaching that you had done as I drove in today. And I just want you to know, thank you for your faithfulness to share the truth and stand on the
Absolutely.
word. And I didn't worry, I just thought, you know what? I hope he receives it as encouragement. And it's because of what you and I are talking about, just that need. I think we often maybe assume how they're feeling and how solid they are in confidence that they're doing things that are lifting up the body of Christ and what have you. But I think it's important that we take time to encourage them directly, and maybe even if there's a teaching or a sermon you just heard, talk to them about it. How encouraging might that be, Pastor?
Oh, you're so right, Steve. So right. Verbal affirmation is critically important. I remember sometimes I'd be done preaching and I'm thinking, man, I should have stayed home and stayed in bed. That's the worst message I've ever put forth. And then somebody comes up to me just like you. It's like, Pastor, Man, oh man, you really preached a good one today. I felt so convicted and I felt so blessed. Thank you for that. And I just can't hardly even believe it. It's like I was condemning myself. It's like, oh, I should have had a guest speaker on that day. But that's so important because the pastor is under the microscope. I mean, it's like he lives in a fishbowl. There's little privacy. There's all these expectations. You've got to do it right. You've got to be right. You've got to be spot on. So much pressure on the pastor's wife, the pastor's kids, and you just live under that. And to have someone like you come forward and say, you know, that message took me into the presence of God. Thank you so much for your heart. So important.
Yeah, I know often when I go up to a pastor to say something along those lines, I'll say, ouch, thank you. the wounds of a brother, right? The wounds of a friend. And also, you know, even just to go up and tell them, hey, pastor, I want to let you know, this is an area in my life that your teaching is having an impact in, and I've really seen growth, and I want to thank you for your investment in me and my family.
Absolutely right, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Pastor George Stanky. He's a pastoral counselor in the counseling department of Focus on the Family for decades, providing all kinds of counseling to individuals, families, and ministry leaders and pastors, deacons, elders, board members. Actually, before we go to a break, real quick, Pastor, you also founded a local, I believe, a counseling opportunity there in Colorado Springs, Renewal. Can you quickly let our audience know about that?
Sure. Renewal Ministries of Colorado Springs. I've been in ministry for so many years, and of course, I've been counseling people for about 50 years. And it's an opportunity for those that are wounded and hurting, that are looking for a safe place, just to hear the word of God, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to find hope and healing, and still have opportunity. So if they're interested at all, renewalcs.org, renewalcs.org is the website.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor George Stanky coming up after this on ABQ Connect.
She was his wife, just trying to make the world a little better, you know, shine a light. People started talking just to hear their own voice. Those people try to accuse my father, say he made the wrong choice. Though it might be painful, you know the time.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Well, we are in the midst of a conversation with Pastor George Stanky with Focus on the Family, part of the counseling department there. And in our first segment, we talked about the need for our pastors to be supported in the place they are. There's so much work to be done, so much spiritual attack. And we talked about praying for them, encouraging them verbally, and so on and so forth. In this segment, Pastor, I wanted to kind of touch on areas about practical and tangible support. Let's talk about the need to support. You know, we're talking about our pastors, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but, you know, they do a work for us. They are servants that you know, put a lot of work into what they should a lot of work into what they do. And, you know, we're reminded in Scripture, right, to not muzzle the ox, and that a workman is worthy his wages. And that includes your pastor. So let's talk about how we could be making sure we're caring for them financially. How important is it as individuals for us to be aware that our pastor is being cared for?
Critically important. Absolutely. They have high demands. Most of them do face financial stress. There's just the need. So many, it's like they're on call 24/7. And one of the most important things for the pastor has to be safe community, because most pastors live an isolated life. They're surrounded by all kinds of people with all kinds of needs, all kinds of demands, but the pastor himself lives in isolation. Who's his friend? Who is the person that he can go to when he's burdened down, when he's wounded? Where does the pastor go for the encouragement and the help that he needs? And there should be someone that recognizes that and just comes alongside and says, "Pastor, I just want you to know, I'm here for you."
Yeah, you know, we talk about practical and tangible needs and ways of support. And in our first segment, as I mentioned, we talked about spiritual and personal. And actually, this next area of support, I think, kind of touches on both. Now, I will tell you that as a dad and as a husband, when someone does something kind to my spouse or my children or grandchildren, that impacts me emotionally. And to a certain extent, I would expect, you know, with a pastor who's got a lot of emotion and thoughts put towards his congregation and the people he's serving, and he's doing his best to make sure he's putting his family as a priority. How important is it for the congregation to be supportive of the pastor's spouse and family?
Oh, that's so important, Steve. I love my wife, and you want to bless me. At some point in time, just bring her a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah.
She might get upset that it didn't come from me, but it came from somebody that cares about her. And of course, that'll always bless me as well. So many times, just the expectations on the spouse and on the children are outlandish. And it's, again, so I told my wife, I said, "You need to understand, they hired me. They didn't hire you." I told my children, "If your behavior meets my standard, you don't have to worry about what anyone else in the congregation has to say." So we try to very deliberately remove those unrealistic pressures from the wife, remove those pressures and expectations from our children, and help them understand that it's our family that established those things. It's not the congregants that established that.
Yeah. Continuing on with a look at some of those practical and tangible needs. And now listen, I've been in my pastor's office and library and other pastors that I see their library. And I'm going to guess, Pastor, that is something that probably, you know, starts, it's kind of like your toolkit, right? At home, might start with a simple toolkit. And as you go through life and have more experiences, that toolkit grows, and library is probably no exception. But can the congregation be a part of helping the pastor make sure he has the tools he needs?
I think the biggest tool the pastor needs is time off.
Yeah.
Grant the pastor a day of rest. I've talked to literally hundreds of pastors, and I always ask, "Tell me about your Sabbath." And it's like, well, let's see, I'm studying or I'm making hospital visits. Make sure that your pastor and his family have a legitimate day off where they don't get phone calls, and yeah, they can just rest. And if you really want to bless them, send them on a great vacation.
Amen. Yeah, and I'll tell you, and I know not every pastor takes Monday, but I know a lot of pastors do. And in doing what I do on this show and on the radio, I connect with a lot of pastors, and I actually make it a point, if it's something that can really, really, you know, if it can wait at all, if there's any, I just try not to on a Monday make those calls. And if I'm aware of, you know, that they have another day, I do try to honor that. And I do think that I'm really glad you brought that up. It's so, so important. And the final thing I wanted to touch on, was the opportunity, for the body of Christ at each church to pitch in. And before I throw this to you on how important volunteering is, I want to say that last night we had our, Christmas party for our church, and it included staff and the volunteers. And I want to tell you something. The volunteers were probably eight times the size of the staff. And it was just a great reminder that there are so many in our congregation that they pick up the hammer. They work on the wall, right? They pitch in and be part of what's happening in the ministry. And it's important that they're not forgotten, but it's important for us as congregants, pastor, to find a place to plug in where God can use our talents to serve the body of Christ, and in doing so, support our pastor. How important is this?
Oh, you're spot on, Steve. I think about the volunteers here at Focus on the Family. Honestly, we could not do what we do as effective as we are without the support of our volunteers. We have hundreds of volunteers, retired people, other folks that they just want to give to the ministry. Beautiful, sweet people, so deeply appreciated. And that pastor needs to understand the importance of delegation, allowing people to minister within their giftedness so that they will come forward and want to eagerly contribute to the welfare of the entire congregation.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you a quick story on that. In our experience, this goes back 20, 30 years ago. Now, we've raised six children who are all adults now, ranging from 26 to 40. I remember when we arrived at church, kids were all still pretty young. There was a season in our life, quite honestly, as a young family, where the church really served us and we did very little. We were busy raising a bunch of little babies, and we got to a point where we were, you know, it's really time that we pitch in. You know, we drop off these kids in the nursery. It's time that, you know, and so we volunteered for caring for kids in the children's ministry. And actually, in preparation for that, at the time, the children's ministry, they wanted to get to know you. So they don't just drop you in a class. We started by coming in once a week to clean off the toys that are used in the children's ministry. You know, and I bring that up because it seems like such a small thing. But it led to us serving in the children's ministry. And I know my wife served in the children's ministry for probably 15 years or more. And we know that it's, what, 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. And let me speak to the guys. Since I'm a guy, I spent 1 year teaching a class in the children's ministry. And pastor, you know better than I do, if every guy in the congregation just did that, would there ever be that shortage of need for helpers in the children's ministry?
Oh, absolutely. I loved children's ministry. My wife made me a clown costume with a big red nose and orange hair. And man, oh man, what a blast I had personally. And ministering to the children, I looked forward to it every Sunday.
Yeah. And tell me this hasn't happened to you, that 20 years later, those kids still come up to you hi, Pastor. and now their kids are in the children's ministry. You know what? By blessing your pastor and the staff at your church, you're going to, you know, pastor, it's what I would say is akin to when you go, you know, often you go on a mission trip and you know, I'm going to go help these people. I'm going to bless them. And how often when you go to bless someone, they end up blessing you. It is a blessing to serve. And if you haven't done it yet, we'd encourage you to reach out to the leadership at your church to find out more. Before we wrap this up, I do want to throw it back to you because you have it. You are a well source of information. You've done this for a little while. Is there anything that we've really left out of this conversation in regards to supporting our pastors? Because they need it and they're men that, and let's talk, there's, you know, women maybe serving in the children's ministry or what have you, how important it is that these, leaders in our church, find the support of the rest of the congregation.
And focus on the family. We have so much wonderful material. They can call 1-800-472-7867. They can go to pastors@fotf.org. We have so much material that is biblically balanced, excellent materials, sermon starters. I mean, you name it. If they need a counselor for a specific need, we will find a qualified Christian therapist that we have personally vetted, give them in that information. So if they will just allow us to come alongside and talk to us, what is the need they have? How can we assist them? How can we supply them in that need? It would be our greatest privilege.
Okay. And if you walk away with nothing else as far as information on how to connect with Focus on the Family, that email again is pastors?
Pastors, pastors@fotf.org, or they can just simply call 1-800-A-FAMILY, and if they want to talk to me, just ask to talk to George. There's only one here. They don't get too confused.
And focusonthefamily.com, always a resource for you as well, which is a well source of information. Listen, we've been taking the time today to visit with Pastor George Stanky, pastoral counselor in the department at counselor department at Focus on the Family. Pastor George, glad to make your acquaintance, and look forward to having you back on another time. God bless you, brother, and a very Merry Christmas to you and all of yours and the staff at Focus.
Thank you, Brother Steve. God bless you as well.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.